Season 6 of the podcast is here. Head of primary school at Harrow Bangkok, Ben Shields is on the podcast to help us problem solve through some teaching scenarios, ways to challenge pupils individually, and ways to give pupils ownership in their learning. As ever, keep sharing the podcast and match play cards with your friends. We'd love to see them on journeys around the world. If you know a coach or teacher who needs a deck of match play cards, ready for the season and the school year ahead, be sure to let them know. On to the podcast and happy listening.
Mr. Shields.
Hey, Jack. How are you, mate? A name to a face. It's, you know, you're so used to chatting to people on Twitter, and it's very refreshing to see to meet you in person, mate. Well, listen, thanks for having me. It's nice to get the chat, the chance to sort of chat, because I think you and I connected quite a while ago, and it's nice to see the journey that the coaching lab and the cards have sort of taken over the last few years in particular as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess from my side, thanks very much for getting involved. I guess you've been part of the journey from, almost the beginning, in a way, Cranley to then Bangkok as well.
I think I bought them for Cranley, Abu Dhabi, 2019-20. I'm really pleased to say that they're actually still using there as well since I've left. So, I've also bought them for Harrow Bangkok as well. So I think wherever I go next, whatever that might be, I think it's something that I'll take with me for sure. We bought them for Cranley, and it certainly really helped with my confidence and in teaching and coaching, actually, because I think we wear many hats as educators, and I think particularly in PE, you've got your sort of PE during the day, and then we've all got after school activities in the afternoon, and I think you do wear a different hat with the kids. It is more of a coaching style, depending on what you're delivering, of course, but they've definitely helped me in both environments, and I think that's the beauty of the cards, is that they're they can be used in the coaching context, and they can be used in the sort of the PE domain as well. I bought them for Cranley. I've got some good friends there still that are using them in the department, and we use them as a CPD tool, and we sort of talked about how we could use them and in what units, what ages, and then here at Harrow, obviously been here a year. One of the first things I got my director's board to purchase, and of course we've got the animal ones now as well. Although we were online for a third of the year, I'm pleased to say that they have been used across the department as well, and that's all the way from lower school up to seniors as well. And I think that's the beauty of the cards.
Yeah, that's epic. I guess the question is why, in terms of. I'm naturally biased. I see why people would get them, but when you're in Dubai, what was you thinking? Like, why would I get these to then impact my students? And what was that impact?
Yeah, I think the visuals are really powerful, and the stories they tell. I've seen the buzz they create. Gamification now is massive. I think a lot of teachers talk about gamification. I think people have been doing and exploring gamification within PE for years, and they're probably doing it without even knowing it, even just in a game, having level one, level two, level three. But particularly the original cards, they just add stories, they add missions, they add so many different levels to one game. It's unreal, really. I think one of the most vivid memories really I have is my favorite card beyond doubt is Mad Dog. Being a previous goalkeeper as a child myself, it brought the position alive. And I remember I had my after school, so more in a coaching context, under 11 BSME girls. So BSME was the British schools, Middle East. It's sort of a group of boys and girls that perform in a variety of sports. So, and that's the beauty. The cards are great for that. But it was a football session. It was a girls' football session, and we got the Mad Dog card out. And I think it was for both goalkeepers. So, whenever there was a shot and the keeper saved it, rather than sort of popping out for a corner or whatever, it was like that massive buzz. The keeper saved it, and then here comes the keeper. And it got so intense that I think we had to say, the keeper could only sort of, throw with their hands from outside the penalty box, because it was just getting silly. But it obviously had a lot of fun, and the girls loved it, but ultimately it opened up some nice sort of learning conversations about, you know, okay, well, how can we now use this card? How can we now think about, obviously now, if we go back to a normal game of football in a game, you know, the goalkeeper can handle it all the way out to that penalty area. How is the goalkeeper going to deliver it? And it opened up some nice learning conversations. But yeah, definitely the way the cards across any ages can open up some fantastic avenues. And, you know, in my role this year as head of lower school PE, you know, I'm going to be really ensuring that the staff use those. They're a part of their regular toolkit in whatever the unit might be, and sort of it opens up, whether it's reflection cards for little pit stop plenaries or whether it's using a particular card just for the whole lesson. I think a whole lesson could easily be built on one or two cards, dare I say, depending on what the learning is. But yeah, massive advocate, mate. And I must admit, I haven't used the animal match plays as much. That's going to be one of my goals this year, is to try and use those and try and use them as much as possible, particularly even with some of our early years PE. You know, I think that the animals and the characters are a real good hook for lessons, for sure.
I reckon the animal ones in particular, you can create a whole lesson straight away just based on themes and characters. You know, so, all right, you go into Adventure World, or this is the ocean, or this is the jungle sort of stuff, particularly that lower age, you can choose 3-4 cards, or even less, and there's a story. And you add more cards as the story gets more difficult and there's more twists and there's more turns to explore.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they'll almost end up asking for certain cards rather than just asking for the card. So, all right, Mr. Shields is playing the shark game, or he's playing the monkey game, or whatever it might be, but you'll begin to create games around certain themes and stories for players to explore, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the things we're actually really opening up here this year is very much a thematic curriculum, and making big cross-curricular links across all subjects in the lower school in particular. So, you know, for example, off the top of my head, I think year two or maybe year one, I've got an Under the Sea unit. You know, immediately I think of the cards and I think of the stories that you can go through, the fundamental games that you can explore. And just flicking through before, there was, and I was listening I think a couple of days ago to Stephanie Sandino's pod and talking about how we're all trying to get kids to move off the ball. You know, if you're playing end ball, trying to get my partner to move off the ball. And, you know, I was thinking, I found these cards and I thought about it immediately. You've got this little chameleon guide, Buzz Buzz, you know, keep moving, always stay in motion. You know, immediately that could, I get my class down. That could be my instant activity, kids. You know, and even with that card, I can explore so many different movement skills and I can get them crawling, jumping, hopping, explore lots of different fundamentals, but can you keep moving? And then I could even add in layer two, and I found the fish. So move carefully and don't come in within 1 meter of anyone else. So make sure you don't bump into anyone. And already we've gamified it, we've added a level, and we can keep adding stories. You know, now we can add in a defender, we can add in a crab, and, you know, really it can... As you said, you can explore those characters and the stories really well. So it links in really well with a lot of the stuff we're going to be trying this year. And yeah, really excited. And actually, Harrow, it links in with a lot of our high performance learning. So we're sort of called a high performance learning school. So in the lower school, we have our I rules. So things like it's I create, I wonder, I respect, I team up, and they go hand in hand, really. And the kids, as soon as I say, you know, are we making sure that we're I teaming up? The kids immediately know that, and they use that terminology. And a lot of the cards really lend themselves to that as well. So it's really exciting. So I think we're going to be seeing some good stuff this year, for sure.
That's exciting. The kids are definitely lucky to have you. I did a PD recently with a bunch of teachers, and I said, I challenge you as teachers to go and not look at the ball and to go and support individuals, particularly in a phys ed setting where it is super mixed ability very often. We'd often change the whole game because of maybe one person or two people, because those might be struggling or they might be finding it easy, and we would change the whole game just for them. Whereas actually giving a couple of cards to those people, how they interact with the game is then totally different. And that Mad Dog card is a prime example that I think in every invasion sport that only there's only ever one person that scores, and there's only ever one person that has that feeling of success or accomplishment or I've been part of this process. Whereas actually giving some cards to players interact with the game differently just flips that whole game meaning to those people. So it's not necessarily always about that person who scores. Actually, if I'm looking to pass or I'm looking to move or this is my challenge that I've given to someone else, their interaction with the game is a totally different experience, which I think is really positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I love about the cards is that it creates that team value and that team spirit. As you said, it's transferring away from the focus on the individual, and it's worth thinking about that, how we work as a team and how we use that card and adapt. And one of the things I must admit, I'll never take a whole pack out with me. I'm quite selective. I haven't been brave enough to sort of open up to the whole pack. But you know, knowing my pupils, I think it's ultimately very important. I know what cards will work, and I'm trying to think about, okay, this is my focus today. This is sort of the inquiry question that we're exploring, and I'll select cards. And what I've been tending to do, I sort of in my left pocket, I'll have cards that are more individual based, so like the secret mission ones. And then in my right pocket, I'll have a selection that sort of open up what would be applicable for the whole game, so for both teams. And you know, I very much like to run small sided games, and I know you do too. So 3v3, 4v4 max, whether that's rollerball, ultimate frisbee, footable, whatever's going on. And I can then, once those games are running, I can sort of visit and sort of observe, analyze. And then if I see that someone's dominating or someone's struggling, I can go in and deliver an individual either secretly or as a group. I say, look, okay, I'm going to give this person this. How are you going to adapt? It opens up some brilliant learning conversations. Or alternatively, I can go in with the whole game card. I can, you know, put them face down, pick a card, any card, and ultimately that creates a buzz. One of them picks it, and then we talk about how we change the game. So it's really good, mate. But that's a top tip that I've thought that has worked really well. Just have individuals in my left, the whole game ones in my right. But yeah, maybe this year I'd be brave and take out the whole pack. I don't know. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. I just wrote down a couple of things here. So I think if you just whack out the whole pack and say you need to pick a card for your team, so it might be in the middle of the lesson you've already started playing your 3v3, your 4v4, and then you've got all the cards out, and then you invite the people to say come and choose a card for your team, so there's a bit of responsibility there, but also a narrowed lens on it's for your team and it is a team challenge. So it's not just choose a card that looks great, choose a card that is for your team. So if they're struggling, it might be every goal's worth two or every pass is a point, so they get to choose cards relevant to them. Or the other one might be that I might put all the cards out and then invite certain pupils to pick for their teammate or to pick for an opposition player. So if I was to set up four pitches of 3v3, I might get one person from each team to go and choose a card, either for their teammate or for their opposing player. So again, just narrows that lens. Yes, the whole pack's out there, but it just narrows the lens to say you've got to pick for this and you've got to pick for that. And I'm also always curious when you leave the cards out and you don't say anything, what cards do they pick up? And who do they give it to? You know, do they go and give it to Jack or do they go and give it to Holly, or who do they give it to? And that peer-to-peer interaction, they might say, actually, Holly, you need this because you do this all the time, or you need this because you don't do this very often. So I'm always curious about what those conversations look like as well.
Yeah, and I think that creates just such a deeper, the conversations that go on as soon as those cards are out, you know, sometimes they're a bit perplexed, but sometimes there's that immediate buzz. And actually, it really gets them to think about that higher order thinking and how are we going to adapt? And actually, a lot of empathy. You know, if some of those players pick up that maybe someone on their team is struggling, they'll think about how they use that player and incorporate it. So, yeah, it works really well. And I think with the reflection cards as well, I think coming out of COVID, I think we're really trying to focus on social skills, communication, and it is something that will be ongoing, I think. And I think the reflection cards are really great because I would happily just open those up and get my team, you know, quick pit stop, all teams in, everyone grab a reflection card, maybe a quick pit stop with a partner or with a small group, and just sort of see those learning conversations happen and try and, it promotes communication, it promotes reflection, it promotes these little conversations. Really great. And it's definitely something that I've been using this year and will continue to use. And I think off the back of what you were saying about different teams, I think what we'd like to do this year is maybe even run a sort of a values sporting tournament where the cards are in use. I haven't quite worked out the logistics of it yet, but I like the idea of teams being able to use their cards, whether they have the same one or each team has a different one, or they rotate around. I think that could be really well as well, because it ultimately gets them to think about how they adapt to that card and the game ultimately as well.
Yeah, I'll put you in touch with Sean at Dulwich Prep School. So we ran something for their 5, 6, 7, 8s, all around soccer. And their values were something along the lines of ownership, reflection, responsibility, and teamwork. So we created 4 pitches around those. So ownership was, okay, here's a card, you now go share that with your team. Reflection was, we'll play the game as a best of three series. So yeah, 3 4-minute games, and there's a couple of minutes in between each of those games to reflect around some of the cards. Some of the teamwork stuff was, okay, well, if this is the challenge for both teams and it's the first to 25 points, what are you going to do? And you might even have that card where you can call a timeout. So we created 4 pitches around their 4 values that their pupils then rotated through, which was pretty cool. And again, for the boys, I think in education, a lot of the kids probably see values on the board, but maybe don't see values in their day-to-day. And that's fair enough. They're young people and they don't necessarily attach them to that. But in a sporting context, when you say, here's some ownership of X, or here's a responsibility for you, it really does come alive. And yeah, we're probably both naturally biased on that one around sport and the power that it does bring. But I think creating a different themed games around the school's values would be epic.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that sound of that. I think I might have listened to that pod actually, but that's some good stuff. It'd be nice to hear how that went down with the kids as well and the successes. And ultimately, I think if it becomes an annual event, the kids almost look forward to it, and it becomes sort of integrated, and eventually you see it sort of having a bigger effect on sort of wider life as well, not just within that lesson. I think you might be able to see it sort of filtering out. So that's good stuff. It's good stuff.
And I think one of the best things around doing that sort of stuff is the academic teachers coming out and then seeing those pupils actually have ownership, those people have responsibility and teamwork, whereas sometimes they might not see that in the classroom with certain individuals, but actually in a sporting context with some scaffolding and structure around the cards, you know, it's really evident. So I think, yeah, it'd be really good if you invited some of the academic staff as well to, you know, experience that and see that and even give them some cards to go and hand out, because
yeah, absolutely, you
know, it helps them.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about when I was at Cranley was that we had a lot of academic staff out on who were supporting with after school clubs. You know, we were very lucky in that we had lots of people who would be happy to give up their time to run, you know, the under 11s sort of social football, or under 11 A, B, C, D, or you know, whatever it might be. But actually those cards give people who maybe had done a bit of football back in the day and then they're helping out, and actually it gives the cards give staff a lot of confidence, and actually it's one of the things I wish I'd had these cards when I was coming through my sort of teacher training, because I think when I was teaching very sort of sport focused units, I think these would have been really great for me in a sport that I maybe wasn't so confident in. And actually it changes the game. You know, we're calling it netball. Maybe my knowledge of netball isn't that great, but at the time, you know, the cards would open up so many different sort of options, and it would have given me a lot of confidence actually back then. So yeah, I think staff would love to see these cards. I think it would give people a lot of confidence and maybe put them at ease. And and ultimately, the kids just are buzzing and the motivation levels are so high for sure.
Yeah, we support a few schools in that respect, particularly the academic staff. And I always say, like, we're not here to tell you how to teach because you're amazing teachers anyway, and that's why you're in a job and that's why you teach. Yeah, actually, sure. The cards are just here to, yeah, like you said, fill in some of those gaps and just give the confidence to say, all right, I'm going to play a game, and it might be netball and it might be handball or football. And I don't know that sport, and that's totally fine, but I know the principles of teaching. And if a teacher knows, well, actually, I can use the same principles of teaching from the classroom in this context, but just use some challenges and play as a motivator, you're onto a great winner. And I don't think it's any surprise that you see a lot of the elite coaches having a teaching background. I think Eddie Jones is someone in that respect. You know, I think he taught science or taught a bit of phys ed. So I think those teachers and taking those teaching principles into a game setting, I think they're onto an absolute winner.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure, mate.
And what do you see in the pupils? So you've given a couple of cards out. What do you see as the impact on them?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it depends on the groups of pupils, and it depends, I suppose, if I've been using the cards with them regularly. I think, you know, if I have got them already, if I've been using them regularly, I think there'll be a lot of buzz. And again, it depends on the cards that I've chosen. They may already know, it may be completely unknown. But yeah, as soon as I put the cards in play, I think probably at the beginning, there's a bit of, not sure about that one, or, you know, how are we going to, and then there's that buzz and I see them go off and I give them a minute or two to have those sort of conversations about, well, how are we going to change? So it's the builder card. We've got to make sure we do at least three passes in this zone and then the next zone. And then, okay, how's that going to, and I think depending on the age group, I think I may then have to go in and support them. Or if I'm working maybe with year 6, 7, 8, then actually I'm probably letting them find having those conversations and just letting them play and you know, embracing the chaos. But yeah, I think it depends on the groups. I think if I know that I've got maybe sort of a higher order thinker in that group, I may give them that card and then let them go and deliver it to that group. So almost develop a bit of leadership, which is something that we're going to definitely focus on our year 4s and 5s this year, just literally just doing a leadership unit and using these cards within mini games and giving them the chance to sort of present and coach each other, which can be really good. But yeah, sometimes there's that feeling of, what is this card about? They might need to read it a couple of times. And sometimes it's, yeah, most of the time there's a big buzz for sure.
Yeah. And you said they helped you. What do you reckon they helped you with the most?
With me personally? Yeah, I think sometimes just as I've learned, you know, I'm still very much on my teaching journey. I think just the ability to step back, you know, you can't be in control the whole time. You just letting the chaos happen, allow the learning to go wherever it may go. A lot of these cards will open up different avenues, different learning conversations. They might sometimes create some conflict where we have to go in and maybe think about and sort of have that conversation about, okay, well, maybe how can we change it? And but yeah, the ability to step back and maybe watch what's going on. And I think more often than not, you'll be surprised how the kids just roll with it, really. Definitely the cards have given me the ability to embrace the chaos. Sometimes I'm a bit OCD and I can't quite let go. And I think that's part of being a teacher. We like to be in control. We like maybe the sound of our voice too much. But yeah, definitely it's helped me to step back and give the ownership of learning to the pupils for sure.
I've got a couple of scenarios to run by you. You've got a quiet kid in your class, like everybody does. There's always that one kid that they're a little bit shy, new to the group. How would you use the cards with them?
Good question. I like to give, and I maybe, let's say we're in a sport education unit. So, you know, maybe we're doing a sport education unit on like Ultimate Frisbee or something. And they're in their teams. I would maybe create like a chief chatter or chief communications officer or something, you know, in a kid's context, I would call it chief chatter officer or something. And I would make sure that they are responsible for coming to get probably a community, like a reflection card or a coaching card that's linked to communication. And I would give them the responsibility of leading that. And maybe they can just simply just ask the question to the group, and then that stimulates the learning conversation. And I think giving them that ownership would probably and hopefully maybe bring them out of their shell somewhat. In terms of a playing style, let's say they were quite quiet and maybe struggling in a game, I might give them the card. I can't remember it, but there's a card where they are the only person allowed to talk in their team. So I might actually push them and really push them out of their comfort zone. Again, it depends on, you know, how well you know that child, and they are the only person allowed to talk. It would keep the noisy ones quiet and maybe give that pupil the opportunity to sort of to step up. Again, it might create some problems, you know, and I think you've got to embrace that, and it creates some learning conversations, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that would be probably my two ways of approaching that.
Chief chatter, that's a good, that's a great phrase. Scenario two, big class size. So maybe there's a teacher off, we've got to combine classes, or naturally there's just a big group. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it happens a lot, doesn't it? Cover, particularly, you know, with COVID recently, sometimes you have to combine classes and, you know, the carnage begins. I think immediately if I've got 40 kids in front of me, two classes combined, I always like to start my PE lessons with an instant activity. So I don't like them sat down, I like them immediately exploring and playing games. So whether that's some equipment left out and I get them to create something and explore, or maybe get them into games straight away, 3v3, and then come round and just give them a card that would then lead that game. And it could be rollable, could be simple as end ball. I think, you know, with small-sided games, because you don't need a lot of space, depending on what the game is, I think, you know, I could have dozens of little mini games going on around the field, and then I've got the ability to go in, check how it's going on, and then move on and sort of rotate. So yeah, I think the cards are quite are great for that. And then I could bring all the kids in, give them a couple of reflection cards, and then send them back out to have some conversations, and then even move around and take that card with them to find someone else. And then you're sort of promoting movement and learning conversations as they go. So sometimes as dreaded that cover can be with 40, 50 kids, I think there's definitely ways around it for sure.
Yeah, I quite like that idea where they keep the card and they rotate pitches, because that way it creates the reflection and adaptability element. Because in game one, we played like this, but in game three, we're now going to try this. In game four, we're going to do this. So that continued learning. But also then makes it easier to have different styles of pitches. So you might have a square pitch, then you might have a diamond pitch, and then it might be rollerball or soccer on one pitch. So actually the game changes, but the card stays the same, which I think is a lot easier for the kids, particularly that lower age. So yeah, 5-6 minute games, and they rotate through. I think that's a really cool way just to keep that learning going forward and that interaction between the players.
Yeah, definitely. Well. And I think that, you know, if I've had that conversation with you about that card, I can maybe steal some of your ideas, and then I can, when I go and talk to the next person, I can present your ideas as well as my own. And as you say, that learning just sort of gets richer and richer and richer. So yeah, no, I like that idea very much. So yeah, it's good.
And from a team angle, you're always then going to play against a different card as well. Yeah. And as a teacher, you might say to the pupils, you have to tell the opposition what your card is, or it could be the opposite where you don't. So you go into a pitch and you're going to go and play against the team, but you don't know what they're going to do until the whistle goes. And you've got to adapt through. So there's that skill of the teacher and the coach to say, this is what the challenge is. Or, you know, you've got to keep it quiet, which I think is always one to reflect on the impact as well. Final scenario, kind of leadership. So leadership in terms of how an individual communicates, maybe how they have not difficult conversations, but how they speak to the group around some problem solving, given different, you know, people roles. What's your thinking?
I think one of the plans we've got for some of our upcoming leadership units is to run a sort of a spin-off of a sport education unit, where I probably wouldn't keep the teams the same week on week. I would probably just sort of change them depending on what we're doing that week. But given the pupils roles where someone is team manager, chief chatter officer, someone is in charge of the equipment, someone is in charge of keeping the score, you know, depending on what age group it is, that could be quite a big task. Someone's in charge of, you know, doing a warm-up. And I think as the game goes on, I can maybe come and talk to the team manager and come and give them a couple of either reflection questions or give them a specific card that I say, okay, in the next 2-minute break, I want you to come and use that card and then go and present it to your team and think about how you're going to use it in your next game. And it's a secret mission. I don't want you to tell the other team. It's your team's secret mission to try and complete that card. And I think as next week, it will be another pupil. The week after, it might be another pupil. So I think during the leadership unit, you know, and then when we come back, we think about, okay, what sort of leadership skills do we need? Okay, we need to be really confident and have a clear message when we're talking to our friends. We need to make sure that everyone's listening. We need to be kind. We need to be respectful. We need to make sure it's fair. So I think they promote and create a lot of good opportunities. But yeah, I think either within a full sport education unit where teams are in the same each week, which I know there's some great stuff on Twitter around, or alternatively, if I'm just having sort of mini tournaments each week, I think they lend themselves that really well that way as well. So I would be careful with the year group, but I think it creates some good leadership opportunities for sure.
And just touch on that lastly. So what would be some of the units that you cover that then you would add the cards into?
Yeah, invasion games, they obviously work really well, but actually when you look through the cards, and if you're selective, they can work in a number of units. They can work in a lot of net and wall games. So I know Steph talked about spike ball. We sort of do sort of like four square style games where we might change the ball or change how many times we have to pass it before we then send it back over the net. Even a lot of striking and fielding games, they work, even in sort of cricket. Think about teams creating scoring systems. There's some great cards for that. Think about bonus systems. I used them with my quick cricket club last year, where they created sort of mini goals around the boundary that were worth 100 or something. But, you know, immediately that put the ownership on them. We used that card and they created a really cool scoring system. Yeah, I think, so many opportunities, to be honest with you. I think, you know, invasion games work so well. And although we don't teach sport focused in the lower end, so we will explore invasion games as a whole. We might have an exploration unit about sort of defending and how we look at defending in basketball or football or et cetera. You know, the cards lend themselves so well to that. And as I said, I've shared these cards with a lot of the coaches who come in and deliver programs after school. You know, our head of football uses them a lot. They're so versatile for sure. And even in the reflection cards, you know, I would use the reflection cards in any lesson, you know, across PE, whether it's gymnastics, dance. You know, again, you might have to select carefully, but it creates some really good learning conversations for sure.
Yeah, look, we're lucky to have you, and definitely the kids are lucky to have you and the staff as well. I feel I love doing the podcast because you always learn new ideas, and you know, often we'd see a picture on Twitter, but we wouldn't necessarily always hear the story behind it all the time. Yeah, so it's nice to hear the story and to hear the impact it's had. And yeah, the kids are really lucky to have you.
Oh, thanks, Jack. Well, it's a pleasure being on, mate. And I look forward to maybe having the Coaching Lab International Tour. You know, you'd be very welcome here in Bangkok. And look forward to seeing how the cards develop, and I'll be keeping in touch about how they sort of develop our practice here at Harrow as well.